In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the feast of Pentecost. I see many of you wearing red. Pentecost in the Greek means 50th day. This today brings the 50-day great season of Easter to a close. And we come to the very end of the first half of the liturgical year, commemorating the chronological life of Jesus. Today is one of the principal feasts of the church. And next week we have another principal feast of the church, the grand finale of the first half of the Christian year, the Feast of Trinity. I know what you're thinking. You're reckless to get out more. But this is exciting because these feasts are meant to change our lives. Today's feast is the feast that commemorates the gift and the miracle of the Holy Spirit. I tell the story. 34 years ago or so, when I was ordained, I didn't have a full-time job. I worked as a half-time chaplain before until I could find full-time employment in the church. I took shorter jobs. A priest was on sabbatical, or a church was in between trees. I would go there for 2 or 3 weeks. Whenever we had went to this church for about 3 weeks, but even for 3 weeks, they had a written job description. It was a rural area. And the job description included preaching the word, teaching the Bible, ministering the sacraments, and mowing the grass. And brothers and sisters, I'm not one to brag or put on airs, but I was the best preaching mower they ever had. I had a 2-year career mowing grass as a teenager through high school. I knew how to mow grass. And one day I remember sweltering August, Saturday, covered with sweat and with grass, mowing that big lawn. And the warden runs out of the office. And I thought only one of three things. The explosion fire, or someone died. And I cut off the law, I ran to the warden, and he said, "You need to explain to me the Holy Spirit. I can understand a biblical concept of God, a biblical concept of Jesus. I don't understand the Holy Spirit." I was a little irked because I was in the zone mowing the grass. I stood there, I don't know what I said, but I said a lot, and it took a long time, but I'm pretty convinced it wasn't much. And I tell the story in all sincerity. I don't even remember the warden's name. I don't remember what I said, but I've never forgotten the question. Because he asked what most people think. What or who is the Holy Spirit? And so I dedicated this sermon to him. I've always thought about him whenever I contemplate who is the Holy Spirit. And today, we are told a lot about who the Holy Spirit really is in both the gospel lesson and the lessons in Acts. And it's a curious thing. They differ a lot. They explain the giving of the Holy Spirit, but in the gospel, the Holy Spirit is actually given the day of the resurrection. Acts follows the chronology of our liturgical year and our ceremony. 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after the ascension. Begin with the gospel story. So beautiful. The very day of the resurrection, the disciples were behind locked doors for fear of their authority, and suddenly appears Jesus. And he said, "Peace be with you." And I think we sometimes overlook the fact that so often when Jesus came to people, talked to people, he began with, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Let not your hearts be troubled." Over and over again. And why did he do this? Because our hearts are anxious. We live in an anxious world, and we need to hear over and over again the words of the love of God saying, "Don't be afraid, be at peace." The next time you or I in an anxious situation, remember the words of our Lord. Let not these words be like me. Peace be with you. There's a reason that we need to hear it. And he said to the disciples, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. I think he had to say it again when they realized who it was. "Peace be with you." And then it says, so haunting, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what that looked like, what it felt like. What we know from the context of this story, that whoever the Holy Spirit is, it is intimate. It is intimate as the breath we breathe. I had a dear friend who died at a young age of lung disease. He never smoked a day in his life, a health person, but he got lung disease. And died, he's the only person I have ever known outside of Jeff Rose that knew the date and the time of his death. Because there at Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we were lowered the oxygen of the morphine. He was on life support, which is basically an oxygen machine that was unique to a specific intensive care unit in a specialized hospital. It could not be transferred to a home. And so that day, the oxygen would go down, the morphine would go up, and he would die. He faced his death with faith and courage. He wrote his own obituary. He called the doctors and thanked them for the years that had been given him because of the lung transplant. He asked for the last rites, but he had one fear. He didn't want the fear of being suffocated. He knew how precious the breath was. And so they assured him, because of technology, he wouldn't suffer. He wouldn't have that fear. And I share the story because how precious the breath is. He sang that hymn, didn't he, coming up to the gospel. Breathe on me, breath of God. Our prayer. The Holy Spirit, we know, at least this much, it is he, she is intimate and precious and caring. And then we go to the version of Acts that took place 50 days after the resurrection. This was much more dramatic. The disciples were and the followers in the upper room, and it was the feast of Pentecost. Keep in mind that people from all the world had gathered in Jerusalem, because originally it linked to the law of Moses commemorating the corn harvest. And then in centuries to come, it grew to commemorate the Ten Commandments, because it was believed that was given to Moses 50 days after leaving the slavery in Egypt. And so people, well done, Mark, for all those names you read at the second lesson. People from all the world went through this. A tongue of fire fell into the silence. They began to speak in other languages to share the message of Jesus with all these other people. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know what that sounded like or felt. We do know something from this. That the disciples and the women and the followers who received the Holy Spirit were never the same. Ever. Keep in mind, remember, all the disciples fled the cross except for John, who stood with the mother Mary. But all the others fled for fear, and some for cowardice. Peter denied he even knew Jesus 3 times, the 3rd time was cursed. But after receiving the Holy Spirit, however they received it, they were changed forever. They had courage and nerve, arm and bravery and inspiration. They preached and thousands were added. They died, raised, martyred death. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit. So from the Gospel of Acts, we know a lot, really, about the Holy Spirit. So now I come to the conclusion of the sermon and to the point of the sermon. We cannot commemorate this feast day properly or becomingly without believing that the same miracles were given to the disciples and to the followers of Jesus in those days are not available for us. And our faith teaches us that the gift of the Holy Spirit, the miracle, happens for us when? At baptism. At baptism, at our baptism, the prophecy of John the Baptist comes through when he says, I baptize you with the baptism of repentance, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when we baptize a baby or an adult, we pray for the miracle of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a symbol. Baptism has a lot of symbolism, yes, but also has a very promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not that those who aren't baptized don't have the Holy Spirit with them, but there is something uniquely given to us, indwelling promise of the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. And I hope that if there's anyone here that has not been baptized, you might consider this amazing fact. So when we are baptized, we claim, like the disciples, to have the courage and the bravery and the joy to become conduits of the Holy Spirit, to take the hurting, hungry, sometimes horrifying world the love of God. And when we think that we're so small, like what's the the prayer of the fisherman, Lord, my boat is so small, the ocean is so big. We think we are so small, the hurt and the needs of this world are so big. No, the Holy Spirit is in us, no less than Peter and other disciples, to be the hands and the feet and the love of Jesus Christ to flow and to love people. And that is the key thing of why we breathe our air in this life. Let us today commemorate and give thanks to the Holy Spirit. Also pray that that Holy Spirit given us at baptism will be quickened every day of our lives. Amen.